The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our church family, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. We would also like to welcome our brothers and sisters who are following this service via Zoom and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from the church's website. The intimations are as printed out in the order of service in your hands. We are all invited for teas and coffees afterwards at our church hall, where we will have time to interact with one another and to talk about the stories of the week. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, "Come, Now Is the Time to Worship," 196. Let us pray. Faithful and gracious God, we draw near to you because you invite us to seek you while you may be found. You are near not because we deserve it, but because your mercy reaches for us before we reach for you. As rain comes down from heaven to give life to the earth, so your word comes to us to renew, restore and reshape us. Yet, Lord, we confess our sins before you. Too often our hearts are like hardened paths. We hear your word, but we do not always understand or obey it. Sometimes we are shallow soil, quick to receive with joy, but slow to endure when faith becomes costly. At other times, our lives are crowded with thorns, worry, fear, ambition, and the pursuit of security that choke the life of your word within us. Forgive us, O God, break up the hard ground of our hearts, deepen our roots in faith, clear away whatever competes with your rule in our lives. Create in us receptive hearts, that your word may not return empty, but bear fruit in obedience, perseverance, and love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 189, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Good morning, children.
Good morning. Where are all the children? On holidays? How are you this morning? All well? Good. Okay, let's begin with a few questions. So who here has ever tried to plant something? Okay. What did you try to plant?
A sunflower.
What did you try to plant? Sunflowers as well. What was your experience? Anna, you don't know. It didn't say you tried to plant anything. Did it grow?
Yeah, it got eaten by a box
very quickly. Okay? What happened to yours, dear? It got pulled out by something. Okay. That's really interesting.
Yes, sometimes we plant things. We may try to plant flowers or seeds, and then they may start growing, and then suddenly something happens. Either they are eaten up by a bug, or somebody pulls it up by mistake. Something happens to these things, and they no longer grow, or we don't have them. Now, Jesus talks about something like that in one of his parables in the Bible. He says there was a farmer who went out with seeds, and the seeds were good seeds. So he went about scattering them. And some of the seed fell by the roadside or on paths. Then birds ate them up very quickly. I think birds will like that. If you throw seeds on the road, they will just eat them up, right? Good food. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground, and then it sprouted up very quickly. But then, when the sun came out, it shriveled and died because the roots did not go down deep since the soil was shallow. And then again he says some of the seed fell on thorns, and they were choked so that they were not able to grow. Or the thorns stopped them from growing. And then finally some seed fell on fertile ground. What do you think happened to those ones? They grew. They grew, they flourished, they produced a harvest, a huge harvest. And then Jesus goes on to explain that the seeds are the word of God, the promises of God, the things that God says, the love of God. And do you know what God says to all of us? God says to us, I love you. I cherish you. I want to hold you, to protect you. That's what God's word says. And we are like the soil. Sometimes we really like the things that God says to us, but there are other things which will not allow the word to sink into us. Maybe we are worried about something in the house. We are worried about something in school or at school. Maybe our friends, we don't have good relationships with people. All these things, some of them make us feel not really ready to receive and to keep the word. Sometimes we really like it, but there are distractions. But God does not stop sowing those seeds, because the sower in that parable continued sowing. And because God loves us, he will never stop loving us. He will continue to sow his seed in our lives. And when that seed grows, it makes us to love other people. It makes us to say good things about other people. It makes us to support other people. That is what God's word does for us. God loves us, he sows a seed in us, and he expects those seeds to grow, so that we too can love him and love other people. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we give you thanks for your love for us, and we thank you for the seed of your word. We are grateful for how you teach us through the pages of scriptures, especially our children. And we ask that the seed of your word that is sown in our lives will bear fruit and a hundredfold. Amen. Our next hymn is 563, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Let us listen to the word of God. Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55, and it's verses 6 to 11. For anyone following in the pew Bibles at the end of the pews, it can be found on page 742 or on the overhead behind me. Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And our second reading can be found on page 978 for anyone following in the Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It's the parable that we heard Amos speaking to the children about, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in his parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And at verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Amen. And thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. We continue our worship this morning by singing the hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Me. The words are up on the projection behind me or on the back of the order of service.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word, quiet the noise within us and around us. Where our hearts feel hard, soften them. Where our faith feels shallow, deepen it. Where our lives feel crowded, make room. By your Spirit, help us not only to hear your word, but to receive it, understand it, and let it take root in us, so that in time our lives may bear fruit for your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my theme for today's sermon is good soil in real life. Good soil in real life. Now, if you have ever tried to grow anything in five, and I'm sure most of us have tried, you would know that Jesus chose his image wisely. You can plant the right thing at the right time with good intentions and a hopeful heart and still end up staring at a sad patch of earth thinking, well, that's no good. Between the wind, the rain, the frost, and the occasional seagull with attitude, farming and gardening require patience, realism, and faith. So when Jesus Christ sits down by the sea and starts talking about a sower and seeds, he is not giving an abstract religious lesson. He is speaking the language of everyday life. This is faith with soil under its fingernails. Matthew tells us that by this point in the gospel, things are already divided. Some people are finding life and hope in Jesus. Others are suspicious, resistant, or flat out opposed. The word is being sown, but it is landing very differently. And that's the moment Jesus pauses the story and says, in effect, let's talk about why. The first thing worth noticing is what Jesus does not spend much time on. He doesn't analyze the sower's technique. He doesn't criticize the scattering method. He doesn't suggest a better seed strategy. The sower keeps sowing. The seed is good. The word of God's kingdom is good. God's saving presence is real, active, and generous. The question is not whether God is holding back. The question is what happens when that word meets real human lives, lives like ours. So Jesus first speaks of the seed that falls on the path. It never gets a chance. It is snatched away before it can sink in. This is not about stupidity or bad character. It is about hearts that never get the space to understand what's being offered. For some of us, life is just noisy. Young families know this well. Between school runs, work pressures, tiredness, finances, and trying to remember which child likes which cereal this week, there is very little quiet. Faith can become something we pass by rather than dwell in. God's word sounds nice, but it doesn't land. For others, the noise comes from worry, grief, or long-standing disappointment. You have heard the promises before. You have sat through sermons before, but hope feels risky, so the heart stays guarded. Jesus Christ is honest enough to say there is more going on here than distraction. There is resistance to God's kingdom. Some forces would rather the seed never take root at all. But notice this. The sower still throws seed there. God has not given up on hard ground.
Next comes the seed that springs up quickly but fades just as fast. We know this type. Enthusiasm without endurance. Faith that works when life is calm but struggles when things get costly. This is not a lack of sincerity. These people receive the word with joy, but when trouble comes, and it always does, the roots are not deep enough to hold. Some of us learned faith when church was safe and familiar, when being Christian did not challenge our assumptions, habits, or priorities. Then life changed, society changed. Suddenly, faith cost something, and without deep roots, it became easier to let it go than to wrestle with it. Jesus Christ is clear. God's kingdom does not fit neatly with the values of the world. It will rub against comfort, status, and control. When that happens, shallow faith struggles to survive. But again, the sower keeps sowing. Then there is the seed that grows but gets choked. This one hits close to home for many of us. The problem here is not rejection of faith, it is competition. The cares of the world, the lure of wealth, the constant pressure to secure life on our own terms. And this affects young families trying to keep everything afloat. It affects workers stretched thin. It affects retirees anxious about health, finances, and the future. The word is heard, but there is no room for it to shape life. Faith becomes one voice among many, and eventually it gets crowded out. Not because it is unimportant, but because everything else feels urgent. Finally, Jesus speaks of the good soil. Not perfect soil, not problem-free soil, just soil that receives, understands, and holds on. These are people who hear the word and let it sink into the center of who they are. They fight off what would steal it away. They endure when faith is tested. They refuse to let worry or wealth define them. And over time, their lives bear fruit. Not all in the same amounts, not all in the same way, but fruit that lasts. This is not about spiritual heroes, it is about faithfulness. It is about showing up, about listening again, about letting God's word shape decisions, relationships, and priorities. It is about a church family made up of people at different stages of life, learning together what it means to live under God's reign. Now, friends, here is the quiet but stubborn hope at the heart of this parable. Jesus tells it knowing that the world is not calm, fair, or settled, and neither is ours. This week alone, we have watched trust in public life shaken again by allegations of scandal at the highest levels of government. We have felt anxiety deepen as prices stay high, wages lag, and many households wonder how much further they can stretch already tight budgets. We have heard warnings of local councils running out of money, struggling to provide even basic services. We have seen governments arguing with one another while communities grew more polarized, and we have watched people on the move, migrants, refugees, those with nowhere else to go, spoken about as problems to be managed rather than neighbors to be cared for. And we have seen grief too, as the death of a respected public servant reminds us how fragile even strong leadership and indeed human life itself really is. And in the midst of all that noise, fear, and weariness, Jesus talks about seed. Not about control, not about power, not about winning arguments, but about the slow, risky work of God planting life in human hearts. At different times in our lives and at different moments in history, we may recognize ourselves in different soils. There are seasons when the ground feels hard because the headlines never stop and trust feels thin. Seasons when faith springs up quickly but struggles when the pressures come on. Seasons when the cares of the world, rising costs, political anger, and constant worry choke off hope before it has time to breathe. Jesus does not shame that reality. He names it. But he also refuses to let it be the final word because the sower keeps sowing. God does not withdraw the seed because the world is messy. God does not wait for perfect conditions, moral clarity, or political stability. God sows the word of the kingdom right into uncertainty, into fear and division. And that tells us something important about Christian faith in a world like this. Faith is not pretending everything is fine. Faith is not shouting louder than everyone else. Faith is not rooting our hope in governments, markets, or personalities, however important they may be. Faith is the quiet, stubborn decision to keep making room for God's reign when the world is anxious, angry, or afraid. So perhaps the prayer for us as a church family is not, Lord, make us impressive, but Lord, make room. Make room in busy lives shaped by pressure and responsibility. Make room in tired hearts carrying grief, disappointment, or uncertainty. Make room in anxious minds bombarded by news that rarely brings peace. And trust that even now, God is at work. The world may feel unsettled. The soil may feel difficult. But the seed is still good, the sower is still faithful, and God is not finished with us yet, even here, even now, even in five. God is still doing his work. Let us pray. Faithful God, you have sown your word among us today. Take what we have heard and plant it deep within us. Where we are distracted, give us attention. Where we are tired, give us patience. Where we are anxious, give us trust. Help us to leave this place as people shaped by your kingdom, bearing fruit in love, mercy, and hope for the sake of Christ and the life of the world. Amen. Our next hymn, we plow the fields and scatter the good seeds on the land, 229.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Generous God, all that we have and all that we are come from you. Receive these gifts and receive our lives and use them as seeds of your kingdom in this world. Where there is need, bring provision. Where there is fear, bring hope. And where there is weariness, bring new life. We offer all we are and all we give in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. Loving God, we bring before you the world as it is, not as we wish it to be. We pray for those entrusted with leadership in the United Kingdom. In a time of scandal, pressure, and public mistrust, grant wisdom, humility, and truth to those in authority. Where mistakes have been made, bring honesty. Where power has been misused, bring justice. Where confidence is shaken, guide leaders to act with integrity and care for the common good. We pray for all who are struggling under the weight of rising costs and economic uncertainty. For households choosing between essentials, for those anxious about work or retirement, and for communities affected by cuts to local services. Plant seeds of hope where fear has taken root, and help us to look out for one another with generosity and compassion. We pray for people on the move across our world, for migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers who face suspicion, fear, or forced return. Protect the vulnerable, soften hardened hearts, and help nations to act with justice, mercy, and humanity. We pray for the United States, for its leaders, churches, and communities. Where political division runs deep, sow the seeds of peace. Where fear silences worship and ministry, give courage. May the church bear witness not through anger or power, but through truth, love, and reconciliation. We remember those who mourn this week. We give thanks for lives given in public service, and we commend all who grieve to your gentle care. Lord, make us good soil, rooted in your word, open to your spirit, and faithful in love. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, the sower of hope. Amen. Our final hymn is Glory Be to God the Father. It's number 110.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.